That's all right. That's all right. The battle is already won. You have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Father, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you keep drilling down into our spirits what you're saying this morning. Lord, if I know anything about you, I know that you're getting this message across to us so powerfully to prepare us. Lord, you're equipping us with the knowledge that the battle is already won. Lord, that we're seated in heavenly places with you. That we have the victory over demons, over disease, over sickness. Father, we thank you right now. We receive your correction and your direction in Jesus' name. Everyone said. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his heavenly place, at right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Glory, glory, glory.
Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to be very serious. If you found out when you went home today that you had $500 million in your bank account, how would your life change? Don't get all spiritual on me. Oh, I'd never change anything. I'd go to work the next day.
I would have a place to
No, you wouldn't.
I'd have a place to
live. I'd drive the same car. No, you wouldn't. Don't be lying now. You had $500 million, I mean, you might give some money away. Tithing on that would make people happy. You do get five. Hallelujah, Lord, let it happen in Jesus' name. Just kidding. You'd never be the same. Never be the same. Furnace would break down. Taxes go up, you'd say, no problem. Well, let me tell you what, you have got a limitless amount of power and anointing and provision in your bank account in heaven. Paul is praying this prayer in Ephesians 1, then turn over to Ephesians 3, and he prays again, for this reason I bow, verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, there it is again, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in where? The inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height. Who's a saint in here? Who's a saint in here this morning? Who's an eight? Is there any eights here? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now why did Paul say that? Because he just prayed a prayer that most of us think is impossible. I wonder what percentage of people in this room, after finding out you had $500 million, would do research to make sure they weren't lying to you. Above all that we ask or think. Above all that we ask or think. I don't know about you, but I can think and ask pretty big. According to the power that works in everyone else. Who's us? We have any us here? I'm an us. Are you an us? The power's working in me. See, the truth is, we're reigning with Christ. Not because of us. Not because we're Pentecostal or Charismatic or Presbyterian or Catholic or all those titles are put on by men. Not because we're older or we're wiser or we're... It's because of Christ.
Yes.
I'm tired of seeing a defeated church.
Yes.
Our prayers need to move from asking to possessing the promises and employing them. After all, we are royalty, you and I. And I'm not making excuses. I'm a royal priesthood.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Turn to somebody and say, I'm a royal priesthood.
I'm a king.
I'm a priest. I'm holy. What I ask, I receive. Come on, somebody. This thing the enemy has done to silence the church, the days are over. Church is waking up. See, we rule and reign with Christ. He saved us. He filled us. He positioned us. He equipped us. He authorized us. If His authority is with me, what do I fear? See, this living from paycheck to paycheck, leaving Sunday from Sunday to Sunday, has got to stop. You know what I mean about living paycheck to paycheck? Come on, somebody. I've shaken out many couches looking for money for bread. Anybody there? How many remember when you were first married? Come on. Man, you were. When you found quarters under the seat in the car, you were like, holy smoke. We live from paycheck to paycheck. See, the days are over when we're living from meeting to meeting.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
See, meetings should be an accent on our life, not the content of our life. People say, why do I need to go to church? Man, tell somebody. And it was said already this morning, we're under attack, the enemy attacks. Well, no kidding. What's that? Supposed to be some kind of a news bulletin that the enemy attacks? That's what the enemy is going to do until he's bound for 1,000 years and my Lord sets up His kingdom.
Hallelujah.
He's going to do that. But until then, the enemy screams and yells and throws tantrums and we still win. You ever had a baby gum your finger? You know, when they're just teething, you stick your finger in your mouth. Hopefully it's clean. It doesn't even hurt, but you go, ow, ow, ow. That's the enemy. He gums us all the time. And us sensitive Sally Christians, oh, that hurts. I'm defeated. No, you're not defeated. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Just like somebody says, hey, your furnace is going to need fixed. It's going to cost you $3,500. You got to have $500 million in the bank. You say, I don't want that furnace. I want the best furnace you got. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people this morning? You are a winner. You're not a loser. You're a winner. Turn to somebody and say, you are a winner. My Bible says that I have power. Verse 19, Ephesians 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. Come on, somebody. Those of you taking notes or notice, you have power, inherent power. Listen, this is the definition of power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Power for performing miracles. Moral power and excellence of soul. The power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. Power and resources arising from numbers. Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. That's what it means by power. You have all you need to be a success. The great salesman and orator Zig Ziglar, some of you will remember his name. Here's what he said. You are what you are, and you are where you are because of what has gone into your mind. You change what you are, and you change where you are by changing what goes into your mind. I am no longer what the world says I am. I'm definitely not what the devil says I am. I'm a creation of Christ. He recreated me. When I was born again, he made me a new creation. And nothing in that new creation has faults. Nothing in that new creation has sin. Nothing in that new creation has defeat. Everything is victory. Everything is perfection. Come on, somebody. And it's to the extent that we know that, that we have victory. Position means everything. It's what comes out of this pie hole that gets us into problems. Come on, somebody. And the enemy sticks things in our thoughts, shoots things into our thoughts, and they rattle around in there in our empty heads. Out it comes. I've said it a million times. I say it again. Do not let things come out your mouth. It's going to get you in trouble. Fight the fight in your mind. Take every thought into captivity, because by your words, it creates your bank account. You're either going to live from meeting to meeting, or you're going to be rich in Him. It's entirely up to you, because He's already given you everything that you need. We just read that. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Our Lord said it this way, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned," in Matthew 12:37. You have to be aware what the devil will try to do to you. And if you agree with him, he has every legal right to harass you. If you agree with the devil, he has every legal right to harass you. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Oh, glory to God. I feel like preaching today. I feel like winding up and preaching. Come on. I'm royalty. I have everything I need. I'm walking in His glory. I'm walking in His health. I'm walking in His divine direction. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Underline qualified. Qualified us to be partakers. Qualified means, in the original language, qualified means that He has inspected you and tried you and saw that you're perfect in every way to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son of His love. The power of darkness has no authority in me. Say it. The power of darkness has no authority in me. He's delivered me from the power of darkness. Come on, somebody.
Yes, He has.
It's all about position. If you fight with the fictitious position of defeat, you will never change your situation. If you admit defeat, everything that comes is because of your words of your mouth. I'm not defeated. I'm victorious in every way. I don't care what the enemy says. I'm not going to listen to what the enemy says.
Amen.
People today have more faith in the devil's authority than God's. Man, to get around and talk to some Christians, you thought the devil is this big old behemoth that does what he wants, goes where he wants. I don't know about you, but he don't go where he wants in my life. He has no authority in my life, thank you very much. And you don't have any authority to tread on me, my wife, what I own, what I have, my body, who I am. You have no authority in me because I'm a child of the King. I've got $500 million in the bank. Try and take something from me. Come on, someone. Get around some Christians, you think this devil is this big old, oh man, he's going to destroy everything. He's this big, bad boogeyman. I don't know if I want to go out there. The devil's out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yeah, the people that he can devour ain't going to devour me. Why? Because we're in the world, but we're not out of the world.
Right.
He's delivered us out of the worldly system and placed us into the kingdom of light.
Yes, he did.
And that's for everyone. We got this top heavy thing that we believe that people that, you know, people that are on TV that, I mean, oh, look at that man and woman of God. They've got all those, oh, we just want to be like him. I want to follow him around. Autograph your book for me, you man of God. He got nothing more than you do. We got to stop this creature worship.
Yeah.
It's a slap in the face to Almighty God. Thank God for vessels. Don't get me wrong. I thank God for teachers and apostles and prophets. And I thank you, God, that you brought them into my life, that you teach me through those vessels. But my glory goes to you, not to them.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:20 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. How many believe this morning that Christ is seated in the heavenly places?
Yeah.
Anybody don't believe that he's seated in the heavenly places? So we have 100% vote. Vote again. Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look around. Look around. Everybody believes that. Now. Okay. Look in Ephesians 2:6. Raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, how many believe that this morning? You're seated beside Christ in the heavenlies. How many believe that this morning? Let me see a show of hands. Turn, look around. Look around. So now, wait a minute. If Christ is seated in heavenly places, and I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, what demon can bother me? What devil can harass me? When we fight with the enemy, we hold an already done banner. Let me say it again. When we fight with the enemy, there's a banner above us. It's already done.
Amen.
Yeah, the devil's going to... I don't know what the devil... why he doesn't get the message after thousands of years. Why are you wasting time attacking me? You ain't going to get nowhere. I win. I already won. I died at the cross with Christ and I was risen again with him at the cross. You have no authority over me. Come on, somebody. Because Christ won, I win. Because Christ does, I do. Because Christ can, I will. David said to Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
The armies of the living God.
Yeah.
This authority is over the powers of the air, not over others and their wills. And that is why we're discouraged as a body of Christ. We expect that people are going to fall because we take authority. Oh, it's Christians. No, we take authority over spirits, not people.
Yeah.
people our free will, and that's what bothers us.
Yes.
We want people to, why aren't you listening to us? Why aren't you following me? Why aren't you following me? Oh, I must be defeated. Resign from being the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
This is where discouragement, doubt, and unbelief come in. You're going to have people disagree, and it will intensify the more you walk in the Spirit. People are going to disagree with you. That's part of the package. The devil is running this world system. We are in the world, but not of it. Therefore, he doesn't run me. He doesn't run me. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm holy. I'm righteous. Come on. That feckless devil cannot touch me, cannot come near me. Now, everybody okay?
Yep.
Romans 5. Turn to Romans 5. And here's where I wanted to go this morning. Here's where I wanted to go, Romans 5, because we all agreed now that Jesus is seated in heavenly places, and so are we. Romans 5, beginning in verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, say free gift,
free,
which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Verse 17 is very important. For by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Look, you cannot be any more righteous than you are right now. You can't grow. You can grow in faith. You can grow in love. You can grow in obedience. You can grow in good looks. You cannot grow in righteousness. Stop praying a prayer, God, make me righteous. He already did. God, give me righteousness. Make me more righteous. Can't make you any more righteous than you already are. Because our righteousness is gauged by Jesus, the perfect one, not by me. Thank God. My righteousness is in Christ Jesus. To be a king is to exercise kingly power, to reign and exercise the highest influence. Some say that we will reign in heaven with Jesus Christ, and that is true. When we get to heaven, we'll reign in Christ Jesus. Why we reign with Him in heaven, I am not yet sure, because everybody is going to bow to Him.
Right.
Some say we'll reign in the millennium when Christ establishes His kingdom on this earth. That's also true. When He comes and sets up His earthly kingdom, you and I will be given charge over cities. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I got the beach.
I get the other.
Few people are teaching today that we reign through Him here and now. We reign in this life. It's not in a sweet by and by. It's not when the millennial kingdom comes. It's now.
Yes.
Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." You're not growing in righteousness, you're righteous. You're not growing in kingship, you are a king. He calls us kings and priests to Him. We reign in this life, Romans 5:17 says. We will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Because you're righteous, you reign. You have authority and you reign over sin, over sickness, over poverty, over fear, over bondage, you reign.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Yes. It's quiet in here. See, this takes all excuses out. We've created such a society that everybody says, it's everybody else's fault I am the way I am. You have to pay me. Give me. Everybody else has a phone. Give me a phone. Go earn it. No, you can't. You told me to earn it. I'm sick. The same thing is filtered into the church. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. God's already gave you. I already gave you. I gave you everything that pertains to life and going. Don't ask me to give. Don't ask for me to give what you already have. Employ it. Blow the dust off of it. Use it. Bunch of namby-pamby sissies that we have in the world. We do. And it's our own fault. We've raised a generation of... Remember, I had a young man that came to me one time and really, you know, kind of come up in church and danced around and made like he was, you know, I'm saved. Started hanging out with me and I'd give him a few bucks, you know, help him out. And he'd sit and listen to my diatribe, you know, listen, we'd counsel a little bit. And I said, you know, I ought to get you a job. And he goes, would you? And I said, yeah, I'll help you out. And so I went to the mall. Nobody knows about malls anymore. They're not around very much, but it's a mall. So I went over there, and I happened to know the manager at the Orange Julius. How many remember Orange Julius? So I went there and had a cup of coffee and sat down and talked to the manager, and I said, I got this young man. Man, he is exciting. He's an exciting guy. He gave his heart to the Lord, and he's turned his life around. And he'd like a job. He said, well, because it's you, I got a job for him. He said, you bring him here Tuesday morning, I think it was, Tuesday morning about 10 o'clock, and we'll do some training, and we'll get him on the afternoon shift. So I sat back, and I said, man, you got a job. He said, I got a job? I said, yeah, you got a job in Orange Julius. He goes, wow, Orange Julius. So we made arrangements to pick him up, and I picked him up, and I took him to the outside of the mall. I said, okay, man, I prayed for him. I said, have a good day. He curled up in a fetal position on the passenger seat. I can't do it. I said, what do you mean you can't do it? I can't work. I've never worked. I never had a job. I kicked him out of the car. Say I'm mean. Say whatever. And I just said, get out of the car. I've done everything I can for you, man. Got you a job. Come on, there wasn't anything physically wrong with him. We've created a namby-pamby, limp-wristed society. And it's infiltrated the church to where everybody's going around looking for, I'm not quite there yet. Pastor, I'd like to. Apostle, I'd like to, but I can't. I'm not right. Come on, somebody. God has filled you, and God encourages us every day. Seven areas that you can walk in very quickly. Seven areas that we can walk in authority. Number one, assurance of salvation. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're not saved unless you're not. And then you're only the one that knows that. If you're saved, you're filled, and you're righteous. Yes. Secondly, passion for godly living. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 25. You're taking notes. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah. Say, how I walk in the Spirit. Just do it. Yeah. You've already got the wherewithal in you to do it. Yeah. How do I walk in the Spirit? I choose the good and not the bad. I don't choose evil. Woe to those who call evil good, good evil. Don't do it. Don't set anything evil before your eyes. Don't watch it. Don't get involved with it. Stop it. Number three, proper conduct. They'll see our works and glorify God in heaven. Act like a Christian. Yeah. Well, I don't want to tell anybody. Well, you're in the wrong place. Jesus said they'll look at you and glorify the Father in heaven. Number four, guard your tongue. No corrupt conversation. No negative speech. Stop saying death things out your mouth. Yeah. Oh, they'll never change. Oh, I'm always be. Oh, I think. Stop it, man. Take a vow of silence for a while. You know, you heard about this monk that went to a retreat. You know, he's supposed to live a retreat. And one of the things is, you only got to talk once a year, one sentence a year. So, you know, he was there a year. And He said, what do you have to say for yourself? He said, the food stinks. After another year, he says, what do you have to say for yourself? He said, the beds are hard. Third year, he says, what do you got to say for yourself? He said, I quit. He said, no wonder, all you've done is complain ever since you got here. Stop saying bad things, man. You know you've walked this walk. I'm looking at people that have walked this walk. When we walk it in victory, everything is, man, things change. Things look different. All of a sudden, we like our job. We like people. We even like our husband and wife. You're not too bad. Guard your tongue. Number five, stay filled with God. Pray the two prayers in Ephesians. And I want to challenge you on the right side of your handout. There is the prayer from Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. And I took the liberty to personalize it, put it in the first person. So what I'm going to challenge you with is starting this Wednesday, August 1st, let's pray these prayers twice a day, morning and evening. Can we do that?
Yes.
Make it personal. I'm raised up together with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places.
Hallelujah.
Number six, do warfare prayers every day. And for this 30 days, vocally dress in the armor of God each morning.
Yes.
Just vocally say, I'm dressed in the armor of God. If you don't have time to go through it, get up 15 minutes early.
Yes.
Go through it verbally. I'm talking to people that are, this is the end of your defeat.
Yes.
No more defeat in your life.
Yes.
Right.
We're going to have a church full of victory,
hallelujah,
loving,
yes,
people.
Hallelujah.
If we fall, He is faithful and just. If we sin, He's faithful and just.
Yes.
Sin is not planned. It's not an expectation. It is a surprise.
Yeah.
I don't have to sin. And number seven, pray in the Holy Spirit every chance you get.
Yeah.
Pray in the Holy Spirit every chance you get.
Yeah.
If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm here today and I can pray for you. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You say, I can't speak in tongues. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Tongues openly with interpretation, only a few have, but everybody has their prayer language. You say, I don't know where it is. Just by faith, open your mouth. Just begin to pray. And the Holy Spirit will just answer you. You'll begin to pray, man, and you'll develop that prayer language. And you just pray that every chance you get. When you're driving, come on, somebody. When you're bathing, when you're painting. All glory goes to God.
Yes. Yes.
This isn't something, we're not trying to make spiritual giants apart from God. We're spiritual giants because of God.
Yes.
We're not trying to make proud people that are kings and priests with $500 million in a bank. It's because God has given you everything,
yes,
pertaining to life and godliness.
Yes.
And we walk in victory.
Yes.
And God's been telling us that all morning. I didn't say anything to Danny. He had no idea. Danny said 3 weeks ago he had something to share. 2 weeks ago. Maybe 3 weeks ago. And he couldn't be here one Sunday. So I had no idea what he was going to share.
Yeah.
I come in and asked Brad to play the Keith Green song. And he said, well, that just confirmed things in my worship this morning. God's trying to get this message through to us, folks. And I'm sorry I've kept you a little. No, I'm not. I've kept you a little long because I put something in you. Man, make use of it. Take use of it. I guarantee you, if you're not used to victory, you're going to walk in victory all week. And then another week. And then another week. And then another week. And we're not going to live from message to message, from worship to worship. We're going to live high off the hog. As my friend Mick says, we'll be living and walking in high cotton. Whatever that means. So, Father, I thank You that Your promises are yes and Your promises are amen in Christ. And I pray for those this morning that have need, Lord, in their lives. If you had a need in your life, please raise your hand. You have a need. You just want God to meet. It's an almost an impossible situation. God wants to meet your need this morning. Father, I pray and I agree with my brothers and sisters. Lord, insurmountable things are happening in their lives. But God, they've got the victory in Jesus' name. Say it with me. I have the victory in Jesus' name. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.